They have wings?
No. That's the point, though, lover. They were flying. I saw the wind through their robes.
Robes? What kind of?
Okay, they were more like loose clothes. Gray. They were all gray.
How many of them?
Give me time, will you? This is my dream, Ryan. 5 or 6, with more women than men, mostly old. Quite beautiful. And they wanted me to go outside and join them.
So they were friendly?
No. They seemed friendly. They were pretending. But there was something unspeakably old and evil about them. Like they were unclean, unwholesome. They were pissed because the glass had a power to keep them out and away from me. They scratched at it with long nails. Ugh, it was horrible. I can still hear the sound of their nails on the glass. And they kept showing their fangs when they faked these smiles.
Then you woke up. Christy sat up, and Ryan saw in the dawning light that she was unusually pale.
Not quite. Someone joined them. Younger. Someone who looked like Dean.
Later, the camp was up and stirring. The embers of the previous night's fire had been revived with some dry kindling that Ford fetched from the wag. The horses were fed and watered, and some coffee was boiling away on the flames. Everyone was bustling around. Everyone except Dean. The boy had opened his solemn brown eyes and blinked up at his father when Ryan shook him awake.
Oh, hi, Dad. Time to get up already? I only just fell asleep.
You've been in the sack for long enough.
Ryan had been busy helping to get the fire going again, as well as washing himself and using some hot water from Ford's battered iron kettle to shave. He never bothered to check if Dean was up.
Looks like the lad had himself a late night. If I didn't know better, I might have thought he'd been out getting his coals hauled at some nearby gaudy. But there isn't one.
When Ryan looked across, he saw that Dean was fast asleep again. He lay on his side, his hands delving between his thighs for warmth, his knees up to his chest for the same reason. His eyes were tightly shut.
Hey, come on, son. You waiting for breakfast in bed?
Is it time to get up already, Dad? Seems like I only just got into bed. Feel triple tired. Can I have a few more minutes?
No, you can't.
Christy had been walking by, carrying a copper pot of water from the small pool that lay just beyond the fringe of trees. She paused and laid down her burden.
He looks pale, lover.
Ryan hadn't really noticed. In the first light of dawn, most people tended to look pale and slightly soiled, their skin sagging and waxen from the night. He touched Dean on the forehead with the flat of his hand.
Suppose he does. Doesn't feel fevered.
Seems like I've just ran 10 times around a plowed field.
Get up and have something to eat.
Yeah.
With an obvious struggle, Dean sat up, swaying from side to side as though he had an ague. Mildred put an arm around his shoulders to support him. Ford joined the group, his cavalry sword trailing in the wet grass, his boots stamped to the tops.
Got an invalid, have we? Can't have that.
Sorry, Dad. I expect I'll be better once I'm up and had some food. You know, I had a triple sick dream last night.
What was it?
Sort of like being wrapped in a big blanket of fog. But I couldn't breathe properly. And I was growing smaller and smaller. The room I was in was getting bigger. And the window with the moon behind it was getting farther away. There was someone or something behind the window that was dangerous to me. Next thing I knew, you were shaking me, Dad. Oh, feeling better now. Think you can let me go. Yeah, definitely better.
Ryan took a cautious step away from his only child, watching him with continuing anxiety. He glanced across and caught a similar look of concern on Mildred's face, which did nothing to make him feel better.
Dean, I want you to open your eyes wide for me. Can you stick out your tongue and cough for me? You haven't got any nasty pains anywhere, have you?
Bit of a headache. I feel a bit sick. But I'm sure I'll be all right.
Ryan noticed that Mildred was checking both sides of his throat with some interest, as if she was looking for specific symptoms. Finally, she patted Dean on the shoulder.
Just growing pains, I guess. Go sit by the fire and take it easy until we get on the road.
They all watched him walk away a little unsteadily and squat by the fire, holding out his hands to warm himself.
Well, Mildred?
Well, nothing. Can't find anything wrong. No swollen glands, no temperature. Pulse is a little bit slow, but he's only just woken up.
Why were you looking so carefully at his neck, Mildred?
Checking his glands. Mumps, glandular fever, that kind of thing.
Was that all you were looking for, Doctor? Were you not looking for marks on the lad's throat? Perhaps for bite marks?
Maybe I was, but there weren't any.
Ooh, vampire bats that had been sucking the lifeblood from the boy?
All right, everyone's a smartass, it seems. Yeah, something like that was a possibility, no more than that. But there are no marks, so it's not that.
They all broke up to go their separate ways. Jack and JB hadn't been a part of the conversation, and were both coming back from the trees together.
Sky's clearing.
While everyone else went about their business, Jack sat by Dean, who had rolled up his sleeve and was peering at a small mark in the crook of his elbow.
What's that, Dean?
Don't know, Jack. Looks like something must have bit me in the night.
After a bowl of steaming hot vegetable soup, Dean seemed to recover some of his natural vitality. Though Ryan still insisted that his son should ride in the bed of the wag, driven by Johannes Ford.
Rest of us will walk.
I can walk.
This doesn't come under the heading of something we can talk about, Dean. You ride. It's probably not far to this Ville of Brampton.
The trail wound between bayous, passing unbelievably ancient mangroves, draped in the veils of Spanish moss. The water was still and a muddy brown. The rig went first, Ford sitting relaxed on the seat, Dean at his side. The filmmaker allowed the boy to take the reins of the pair of bay mares, while he leaned back, the skinny black stogie helping to keep away the mosquitoes. Ryan walked behind the high canvas-topped wag, with Christy at his side. JB and Mildred brought up the rear of the group, with Doc and Jack in deep conversation between them.
I'd like to watch his movies.
Me too. I haven't seen that many. Most of them were bits of vids, played on battery-powered machines. It was like watching the pictures at the bottom of a deep well.
When we reach the Ville?
I hope so.
Have you ever been to Brampton?
Nearest I came was when we first met up with Jack.
And you never visited this community when you lived close by, Jack?
No, Doc. You gotta remember there's Cajuns and Native Americans and trappers and all sorts. Not many big Villes after Skydive. Travel's often tough. So you stay close by where you're birthed.
On my soul, what was...
For the gator?
There are many of those creatures around the swamps, are there not?
My father once told me that anywhere around bayous, you're likely less than 20 paces from big gator.
Well, thank you for that splendid piece of information, my dear Ganymede.
You worried about Dean, Mildred?
A little, John. It could easily be some sort of alien virus that the boy picked up at our last jump. His pulse was definitely very slow. And his skin was cold and slightly moist. He looked as white as a sheet when I first saw him this morning.
It usually bounces with energy. Must be something wrong if he won't get up.
At least it wasn't vampire bats, John.
You sure?
Not a mark on his throat. It isn't likely that even a sizable flight of bats would kill a healthy person. Danger comes from them being notorious carriers of rabies. But there's none of the symptoms of that with Dean. Just one of those things, I guess.
There was very little sign of human life. At one point, the trail became a moss-covered two-lane blacktop, carrying them along at a good rate. That ran into an elevated section, riding over the placid water on cracked and stained concrete piles.
Good traveling! If only all the highways of Deathlands were so easy!
Don't speak too soon. Back in Harmonyville, Uncle Tyus McCann used to say that life was always checks and balances.
Sure enough, a half mile farther on, it was obvious that there had been some serious quake activity, almost certainly during the geo-turbulent months that followed Skydark and the beginnings of the long winters. Volcanoes and massive earthquakes became commonplace, changing the face of the country forever, turning deep valleys into lava-puking mountains and serene islands into bottomless lakes. The elevated highway had presumably been rocked by such a quake, bringing it down into the surrounding bayous. But someone had taken a lot of trouble to build up a causeway of packed earth that enabled the team to carefully draw the loaded wag down onto another dirt trail.
Sign ahead! Pass the ruins of that gas station!
The sign was tilted sideways, as though one flank of it was sinking slowly into dark ooze. A small shotgun shack of unpainted wood sat just beyond it, which also leaned to one side, as though it had become too much of an effort to remain vertical.
Bramtown! That the place we're looking for?
Seems like it. What's the sign say on that hut?
Writing's too clumsy and...